and welcome to episode number 37 of Nerds Talk Movies. We are back, baby, after a couple of weeks off, and it is good to be back. My name is Johnny Reynolds. I will be your host, and joining me, as always, well, not as always, but most of the time, Taylor Cole. Taylor, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm very happy to be back, and it is a huge episode for us because we get to talk about Mortal Kombat.
You're damn right we do.
Insert the music here.
Exactly. Dun, 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 dun. I know we're going to talk about the trailer. There's a hint of that theme song in like the orchestral score.
It's like a, whenever yeah, that it's logo like an pops epic up. Version of it or something
yeah.
like that.
We know. Yeah. Yeah, but we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. Before we jump into the show, got to go over my standard housekeeping. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at NerdStashShow. We're going to try to be better about actually posting there. You can also join our Discord at the NerdStash community. Also, please check out the site, thenerdstash.com. We've got lots of great writers over there churning out daily news and reviews and game guides and all kinds of good stuff. Also, if you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform of your choice, because we're pretty much on all of them. But with that out of the way, we are going to kick off the show with how we always kick off the show, with what are we watching? So, Taylor, why don't you tell us what you've been watching?
So, obviously, Johnny, I think I, like so many others, are watching WandaVision on Fridays.
Yes.
And we'll get into it, man. We'll get into something later in the show about it, but man, the show is so damn good. It really is. Other than that, I don't want to get too much into WandaVision here, but yeah. I've been rewatching Justified. I think I've talked about this show a few times in the past on Nerds Talk Movies, and like, man, it was really good. On a rewatch of just like while you're working on projects and stuff, you have something on TV. I'm sure you've been there too.
Oh, yeah.
And I've just been watching through really towards the end of season one on, because the first few episodes are really procedural. But pretty much from then on, I've just been, like, working on something, and then I just turn it and I'm just watching Justified instead. I have to stop myself.
Yeah.
Because the show's just so good, man. Timothy Oliphant is so charismatic in playing this, like, marshal who just has no rules to him. Like, he knows exactly who he's dealing with in his hometown, and he just doesn't have time for it. And it's just so funny. And Walt Goggins plays Boyd Crowder. He's basically kind of like the villain, slash at times he's kind of an anti-hero kind of thing. But mostly he's a villain. And he is just also so charismatic. It's like two perfect actors for these roles. And it's just so surprising that this show is honestly as underrated as it is. Because you always hear about like Sons of Anarchy and The Shield. And I haven't seen The Shield yet. That's probably next on my list, but I would rank Justified probably among the top of
wow.
those three shows so far.
Yeah.
But I still got to see The Shield, so who knows?
That's true. Yeah, well, I'm glad you are enjoying Justified again. Yeah, I just, like, less than an hour ago, actually finished watching the newest episode of WandaVision myself. Obviously, I'm not going to give spoilers here. We're going to talk about it a little bit later in the show. But, yeah, I normally have to work on Fridays, so it's just, like, whenever I'll get on, like, Twitter on my break, and I'll just be like, this is very dangerous, what I'm doing. And I've found out, like, some minor things just through Twitter, but I've never been, like, spoiled on anything big, like, any big reveals, which is, actually kind of lucky. But, it's always just, like, I'm always just nervous that I'm gonna find out some big spoiler before I get a chance to watch it, but... So far, nothing too big. Nothing like the Luke Skywalker moment of The Mandalorian. That got spoiled for me very quickly. That was a shame. But
yeah.
Nonetheless, awesome. But the show that I want to talk about today is a show called Ted Lasso. And if you're not familiar, it's an Apple Plus TV series. Sorry, I have to remember what the actual name of that service is because there's so many streamers. Apple Plus TV. Or TV Plus, or whatever it's called. And it's only got one season out so far. Now, I've heard a lot of people talk about this show before, just like really, really praising it and saying how funny it is. And it's a show that has Jason Sudeikis as the lead. And I didn't know any of the other actors, but basically the premise is he is a sort of small-time football coach who gets hired to go to London and then coach one of their like actual football teams, but like with like really high stakes.
He was an American
stakes.
Football coach. Yeah. Goes to London.
American football show.
To coach soccer / football. Everywhere
yes.
else, because American football adopted that name for some reason.
Yes, which is dumb, but that's besides the point. So basically, everyone in the UK who like covers the game, who all of the people on the team, everyone thinks this is a terrible, terrible plan. He goes to England with his like a his friend who is also a coach who has like worked with him for years. And he has like the most positive outlook on life. He's so warm and charming and funny and just tries to get to know everyone that he comes that like that he works with. He's like the kindest person in the world. And then he goes to this place and everyone is just like super jaded towards him at first. But then with each episode, he wins people over just because he's so kind-hearted and warm towards everyone. And I know that that sounds probably a little sappy, but the show does a really good job of just like not feeling sappy. It's just, it wins you over. It like makes you believe in people. And it's just, God, it's so, so funny. Jason Sudeikis is great. I know that he got nominated for a Golden Globe and he deserves it. So I kind of hope that he wins. And I've always kind of liked Jason Sudeikis anyway, but he does a really, really great job.
Yeah, I was going to say,
show.
I think that's what Jason Sudeikis really is as a comedian. Like, he's one of those comedians, at least for me, they're like, yeah, he's okay, but like the more and more you'll see him in something, the more and more you'll start to like him.
Yeah.
And like find him funnier. It's like as time goes on kind of deal with him.
Yeah.
So that's not too crazy to hear. I do have one question for you on this.
Yeah.
I know, Johnny, you are not a sports fan.
No.
So seeing this, by the way, is a little funny to me. I, on the other hand, am a huge, huge American football fan. Would I enjoy this show based on that?
Okay, so...
Other than the comedy.
Yeah, so there's actually not a lot of, like, sports talk in the show. It's more about how he connects with his players and, like, what's going on in their own personal lives. There's also a character, or like one of the lead characters is the owner of the team. And she just like is in the middle of an extremely messy divorce where her husband was like cheating on her for years. So to get back at him, because he loves the team more than anything else, she hires Ted Lasso out of spite because she wants him to fail. And she wants the team to do, you know, really unwell, to do really poorly under him. So there's that dynamic going on. But also, like, she's one of the people that, like, his kindness is winning over. So there's, like, this really great struggle with her. She was a really fantastic character. And, yeah, so there's actually, like, not a lot of sports talk in it. And it's really funny because he takes this position knowing absolutely nothing about soccer. Like, he doesn't get it at all, but he has but he like tries his best to learn. And it's just like really funny how it's just a really great like fish out of water story.
So, yeah, I think
again, I would honestly say that anyone could enjoy this.
Yeah, again, I know you're not a sports fan, but I think they had a segment or something. I remember the Ted Lasso kind of character.
Yeah, I know he's based off of a real person, yeah. And real
well,
coverage.
I think he's actually, like, done this, like, segment before, or this character before.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember where. I remember seeing, like, a YouTube video on it, I think. I'm not sure if it was, like, Sunday Night Football or something.
Okay.
They did it, so maybe that's where it spawned from, and they're like, man, Jason Sudeikis will be perfect for this show. And they just get him from that.
Yeah, and it's great, and he's wonderful, and I already like can't wait for season two. I actually kind of like want to rewatch season one because it was so funny, and it's only 10 episodes, so it's really like a quick watch. So I highly recommend it. If you have Apple TV Plus and you haven't watched it yet, please watch it. If you don't, they probably have a free trial, sign up for the free trial, watch Ted Lasso. It's very, very funny and just very charming. And the world is a pretty crummy place a lot of the times. And, you know, sometimes you just need a show that's just really, really warm and just really kind-hearted. And Ted Lasso is that. Also, one of the creators of the show also created Scrubs. So that also, like, piqued my interest in it because I love Scrubs. And I know that, like, Jason Sudeikis also has, like, a hand in, like, the creativity of it, too. I think he's a producer. So, yeah, it's great. Go watch Ted Lasso. But
now, Johnny, do you know what is not kind-hearted? What is not happy? That is not overly, overly positive? It's Mortal Kombat.
It's Mortal Kombat, which is a great transition. Yeah, pretty much the exact opposite of what Ted Lasso is. That's what Mortal Kombat is. So let's go ahead and talk about it, because we did get the first trailer for Mortal Kombat, and I'm so, so happy that they made it a Red Band trailer for the first
trailer. Oh, I thought you were going to say, I'm so, so happy that the trailer didn't suck.
Also that, because it really could have gone either way. I mean, I was excited because I know that the cast is like actual martial artists, and they were going to be, you know, leaning towards the hard R, but I was still, you know, skeptical. But no, I'm really glad that they went with a Red Band trailer instead of a Green Band so that they could show, hey, in case you were, you know, nervous in any way about this, we're going to have like gory fatality level violence in here. So, yeah. So basically, the trailer sets up a few things. We have our new main lead, who is named Cole Young, who's kind of replacing Johnny Cage because he's sort of like a cage fighter. We see Sub-Zero as the film's main antagonist. We see Sub-Zero's rivalry with Scorpion, Jax losing his arms, and the Mortal Kombat tournament itself. There's like a really, really awesome flash of a bunch of like very violent fatality looking stuff. Yeah, which made me
I swear excited. That's Reptile. Am I wrong in saying that?
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, there are lots of flashes. I would have to watch it again, but I would expect that Reptile would be in it.
Like, Reptile, if that is Reptile, they did not go with the ninja format. They did not go with, like, even the Mortal Kombat games, where he's, like, kind of a reptile, and he has kind of a little bit of the ninja armor on him.
Yeah.
If that's actually Reptile, it is full-on crocodile kind of thing going on. Which I kind of dig.
I kind of dig, too. Yeah. Then it just makes him a bit more aggressive looking. Like, he can just, like, rip into someone, which he probably will.
Like, as much as we love these characters, we have, like, Ermac and Scorpion and Sub-Zero and
I saw Reptile Smoke in there, I think.
And Smoke and all these, like, Mortal Kombat ninjas that are just like the same ninja but a different color, so it helps diversify them a little bit here.
Yeah, that's true. I think they did a little bit in the games too, but
yeah, especially like Automatic and changing some of them into cyborgs and stuff. But continue on. I've interrupted a few times.
So. Oh no, you're fine. Okay, well, yeah, Mortal Kombat. As we've talked about before, it will release simultaneously in theaters and on HBO Max on April 16th, 2021, which is fantastic because I have HBO Max and I can just, you know, get up that day and watch me some good old-fashioned violence. So the first question that we have in our show notes, which is probably pretty obvious by now, is what were your overall thoughts on this trailer? I was really, really hype. It started off just like a little bit serious, just like dramatic flair, I guess. But then once it started getting to the, like, as soon as Jax's arms get frozen and shattered, I was like, oh, here we go. And like from that moment, it was just like insane over the top gore. And I was just, I'm all here for it. There's a part where Sub-Zero, yanks out some guy's blood and like freezes it into a dagger and stabs him, and it's so, so awesome. That was probably my favorite moment from the trailer, but there were a lot of really great ones. There was a flash of Goro too, which leads into the second question, is since we've already sort of given our overall thoughts, is are there any Mortal Kombat characters or moments that you are hoping to see? I want a intense, unsettling Goro fatality. I still have a fondness for the first movie that came out in, like, 1995. But, you know, because of, like, special effects limitations, Goro's not in it a whole lot, and we only see him kill one guy, and that's a PG-13 movie, so it's not very violent. Anyway, I want those forearms to just, like, pummel a guy into mush, which sounds very disturbing for me to say that I want to see that, but it's Mortal Kombat. That's what you're going there for. So that's a moment that I'm really hoping to see, just like Goro to get unleashed. But what about you, Taylor? What are you hoping to see? What character, what are you wanting to see that we didn't get in this trailer?
First off, that trailer, man, it was like, I think we talked about this off air. I think we were recording the Nerdstash show and we were talking about this. And I love that Mortal Kombat Rebirth / Legacy show. That's dark.
The online series they did.
Yeah, I loved how dark it was, but I'm not sure that would work for like a full movie, because you see these video game movies, and when they take themselves way too seriously, mm-hmm. it never pans out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this trailer, from the start, I was like, oh god, please don't go full Legacy. Like, come on now. Like, people love the 90s one because it's bad. It's a bad movie, probably objectively. But people love it because of it knows what it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's having some fun with the concept. And it feels like that's what this movie is, plus, like, taking it seriously enough for it to be, like, an actual film.
Yeah.
That might, you know, not be, like, remembering 10 years for... Oh man, that was so bad, but it had that music and the guy played Shang Tsung. So yeah, exactly. This actually feels like it could be a really good movie because it blends those two tones together in such a good way. At least from the trailer, that's what it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
As for what am I hoping to see? I'm just hoping to see Scorpion a lot because...
Oh, you're going to see Scorpion.
Because I believe, like, this is not shocking to anybody listening. Scorpion's like the most popular character in this entire franchise.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't understand why Mortal Kombat hasn't just completely geared the franchise to him anyways, instead of just, oh man, put him on the poster and everything. They're just making the main character, and it seems like that's kind of what he's going to be here. My big theory, and I think this has been online, is that Cole Young is going to be somehow tied to Scorpion. You notice Cole Young is wearing a lot of yellow and black in the entire trailer.
And so, I know that we are going to get, well, we know that we are going to get that slaughter of his family that leads to him becoming Scorpion, because we do see Hanzo Hasashi.
Weekly article, yeah, and the director and we said see, that, like, the first 10 minutes of the movie is Scorpion versus Sub-Zero.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and so we see him as, we're going to see him as Hanzo Hasashi, and we see him in the trailer too, because he's using his kunai as he's, like, farming or whatever. So yeah, we will get that for sure. But we don't get a shot of him as Scorpion. Like, we don't see him with the, you know, the pale white eyes and the yellow suit.
I'm not sure we're going to get that. I think we're going to get.
Yeah.
That kind of, like, hooded figure with the mask on. I think that's probably...
And I guess that makes sense, because bright yellow probably won't fit with the tone that they're going for here. We do hear the iconic "get over here," though, which made me very happy.
It wasn't as aggressive as the games, but, like, no. I don't blame it.
It was a little, less demonic. Like, yeah. It's like an actual, you know, person saying it, not, you know... Hellspawn.
I'm hoping to see fatalities, a lot of blood. This is one of those movies that needs it. Dude, that scene with Sub-Zero stabbing Scorpion, the blood comes out, he freezes the blood. Like, it was a move out of the game.
Yeah,
that is how much I was just like, that's straight from the game that I would see. And then he just creates an ice wall and kicks him through it. Yeah. Like, it's what you would see, man. Like, I am very hopeful about this. As for characters, man, I kind of want to see Ermac. I want to see what they would do with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, interesting. Sub-Zero ends up destroying Jax's arms in this trailer, so it wasn't Ermac, so...
Yeah, and I'm curious how Kano is going to fit into it a little bit, too, because what...
It seems he's on their side.
Is he just some kind of... criminal, or if he's not on their side, is he just some kind of like criminal and like Sonya's after him? Or
I assumed from watching the trailer, kind of what I was putting together is they were looking for a criminal in Brazil, right?
Yeah,
that's what the narration said. I was thinking that possibly could be Kano is who they were looking for, but Sub-Zero was there for some reason.
Yeah.
So Kano, whenever this whole... Because it seems like where this movie's going to go is we see the movie through Cole Young. You know, the character that... This is the one part of it that kind of worries me. Because this is where a lot of video game movie adaptations go and just screw it up. Is instead of like, hey, use these characters. They're like, well, we're Hollywood. We can make our own. So that's where I'm a little worried here. But it seems like what he's basically going to be, this character, is just a way to facilitate the audience into the Mortal Kombat tournament. So we don't have to introduce everybody officially. Like, everybody kind of knows what's going on, it seems like.
Yeah. We also, I did want to point out, we do get, we're going to be getting several fatalities. But we also get a look at an animality, I think is what they're called, right? In the games. Whenever they turn into... Yeah,
Liu Kang brings out the dragon.
We see Liu Kang's dragon, which if they were going to put one
in, it looks much better than... What was it? Was it Annihilation?
Yeah. So, well, yeah, of course.
With Nightwolf and... Oh, this one, God.
Yeah, but instead, it's interesting. Instead of him, like, turning into it, it looks like he's creating it out of his, like, you know, fire powers. So it's just an interesting little tweak on that classic animality. But our next question that we have in the show notes, Taylor, do you think it's going to be over or under 6 Mortal Kombat character fatalities in this movie? And you wrote the show notes, so I'm assuming by character you mean of like the main ones, you know, not just throwaway characters in the tournament.
What was the guy's name from? Was it like Art or something like that? Some random dude in the first Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah, he's a friend of Johnny Cage, and he's the one who gets killed by Goro too.
Yeah, and it's just like some random throwaway dude character. Yeah, you're supposed to care about him. Like, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah,
like, I'm 7 watching this. I'm like, I don't even... You're not in these games. I don't care. So I mean like Mortal Kombat named characters like Reptile, Kano, stuff like that.
Yeah.
What's over under 6?
Yeah, over under 6.
I'm going to go over.
Oh, really?
I'll even take a second bet on top of this.
Yeah.
I think this game will actually do fate. It will be a fateful adaptation for Kung Lao because he won't do anything meaningful. Because it seems from that trailer, he's just like, I'm Kung Lao. He shows off his hat and that was it. And we don't see him again.
He blocks something. And yeah, he's in it so little that I forgot that he was in it. So that might be he might be one of those fatalities, but we'll see.
Oh, that would suck, man! And could you imagine everybody, dude? That would piss a lot of people off. Yeah. If like he was one of the early deaths.
Yeah, probably would. But I mean, they gotta kill some heroes, some good guys. They can't just like fatality all the...
Well, you can always kill off Striker.
Yeah, you could kill off Striker. I don't think
he's in it.
If he's in it, yeah. I don't know. I can't remember. But I don't think that if he were in it and to die, that would make people that upset. But I don't know. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe people love Striker. I don't know.
Over or under, Johnny? Over or under?
Okay, I'm going to say over as well. But I don't think it's going to be by much. Because you got to think that if this does well, they're going to do a second one and then delve into the more of the like the Outworld plot and all the Shao Kahn
stuff. Think this through here. Yeah. All right, so Sub-Zero is the villain. Let's assume Sub-Zero dies. That's RE1.
Yeah.
Shang Tsung, he can die probably 1,000 times come back.
Yeah.
You probably got 2 or 3 heroes who could possibly die because some of them probably won't be as important. So that's already at 5. You only got to get 2 more. So you're going over.
Yeah, I'm going over. There's enough characters here for some of them to just be fodder. I mean, that's kind of like... I guess you really shouldn't go into a Mortal Kombat movie like being attached to any of the characters. You go to a Mortal Kombat movie because you expect those characters to be killed horrifically. That's what we want, right? That's what we really want.
Unless you're like Raiden. Raiden always kind of survives.
Just because he's a god too, so he's the exception. Yeah, he'll survive. Everyone else, actually, I think Liu Kang will survive. Everyone else, yeah, we'll see what happens.
I don't know, man. The games, especially here lately, I don't know. Mortal Kombat 11 kind of fixed that.
No, I don't know. I actually didn't play 11.
Loved the Oscar, though. For a while, Liu Kang has been kind of sidelined here.
Oh, yeah?
So, I don't know, but, dude, it's really good that we're talking about this movie in a positive light, because I really thought we could have watched this trailer and been like, oh,
very easily could have gone the other direction, yeah.
Yeah, right. Could have went of, oh, it's going to be just like 1995 movie, and it's so bad it's good, and they went too dark with it, or they went too cheesy with it. It's just, it seems so far like middle of that kind of tone. And we only have, 2 months until it comes out?
Yeah. I can't wait. They're going to fly by, hopefully.
I hope they don't show another trailer. I hope that's all we get of it.
No, I'm totally fine with just the one. Like, I was already, like, kind of sold, but this one, like, the trailer really sold me, so I don't think we need to get another
one. Yeah, part of me didn't even want a trailer. We were so close. Like, we're only 2 months out, so, I mean,
yeah.
I know you have to. Like, you know, you're trying to market a movie. It's expected. You're not going to release it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to release it. Like, oh, no, here's a surprise Mortal Kombat movie, because the general audience isn't going to know it's there unless a trailer comes out.
Yeah, that's true. Any final thoughts, or are you ready to move on?
I'm about ready to move on.
All right. Well, let's move on then to some casting news. As reported by Deadline, the Young and the Restless actress Sasha Calle, C-A-L-L-E, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, has been cast to play Supergirl in Andy Muschietti's The Flash movie. Muschietti, DC Films' Walter Hamada, and the film's producers were all reportedly, quote-unquote, blown away by the actress's toughness and vulnerability that she brought to the role. So, Taylor, what are your thoughts on her being cast and just the inclusion of Supergirl in the upcoming movie in general?
No disrespect to Callie here, but, I mean, you can go to the actress's IMDb page. Unknown thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's not much. Unless you're a huge daytime soap opera fan here, probably...
She has been on, according to IMDb, 243 episodes of The Young and Restless.
Yeah, so unless you're a fan of that, then you probably don't know who this is. So I'm always open, especially at DC. It seems like DC is really like, who's the trending person right now? We need to get them. So it's always kind of cool to see, like, now we think this person's the best, and we plucked them out of a kind of, I don't want to say obscurity, but kind of just like unknown. And here's why we picked them, because they're awesome. So I'm really looking forward to seeing Callie play Supergirl, especially with, you know, Supergirl as TV show is ending. So that character is going to be completely open for anybody to use in movies or TV shows.
True, yeah.
As for the character being in The Flash, that's a little shocking to me. I'm curious to see how exactly they're going to do that. I mean,
like an odd introduction, but yeah.
Yeah, we know they're going to use the multiverse, maybe it has something to do with that. And also Cyborg. Cyborg was supposed to be in this movie. Is Supergirl going to take that role, kind of?
Oh, yeah.
I know these are two completely different kind of characters, but I'm saying as in screen time.
Yeah.
Really. Or maybe having that kind of relationship with the Flash. Like, yeah. Coming as an ally, friend kind of character, other than, you know, Batman.
Yeah, they could still, like, rewrite a couple of, like, elements, but keep her in that same, like, position that Cyborg would have been in. But, yeah, you bring up a really good point about her being relatively unknown, unless you are a daytime soap opera fan. And that kind of reminds me of some other really big recent casting news, which is Pedro Pascal as Joel, who I love Pedro Pascal, don't get me wrong, but I remember thinking, as soon as I heard that news, I thought, are they going with him because he is the right fit, or are they going with him because he's, you know, ginormous right now with Wonder Woman 1984, with The Mandalorian? Is that why he's getting cast versus, you know, is he the right person for this role?
Even bring up the Game of Thrones elephant in the room here, because the actress playing Ellie It's from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, was also from Game of Thrones, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a good point to bring up, and it is good to, like, see that, because a lot of times in Hollywood, it's like, what's the hot actor, hot actress right now? Okay, we gotta put them in everything.
Exactly.
For example, by the way, John David Washington, Denzel Washington's son, I think is just rumored for all sorts of roles. And I'm already like, okay, let's not overexpose him in like 30,000 movies.
Yeah, his rise was very fast. I remember watching him on HBO's Ballers, and then he did Black Klansman, and then it was Tenet, and then now all of a sudden,
within
a very short time period, he's just like everyone knows who he is.
Look at Chris Pratt too. That's another example of like Guardians of the Galaxy came out, and he was like in everything.
Yeah.
And while he's still, you know, Star-Lord and doing great now, a lot of the movies he did weren't very good. Like, overexposure doesn't really work out too well. So it's good to see DC, at least in my opinion, like, okay, let's not just pick a big-name actress for this. Let's find the right person who can pull this off, and we might have a future Supergirl that we can use in future movies, because right now Superman, we don't know about. As much as people want Man of Steel to, at least he has something there for, you know, to use in these movies.
Yeah, and it is a little refreshing to, like, see a casting report and be like, I don't know who that is. They could go either way. Just the opportunity that it allows, I guess. There's no, like, I guess, weight or baggage that comes along with this casting because, you know, or at least for most people, they wouldn't be like, oh, she's perfect, or oh, she's terrible. It's just because, you know, she hasn't been in much so far. And what she has been in is probably, you know, not up the alley of the fans of, like, comic book movies. Because neither of us have watched The Young and Restless, and DC has still cast her in this role. So, yeah, hopefully it all works out well, and she does a really great job, and we do have a Supergirl to move forward with, because, like you said, everything with Superman is kind of up in the air right now. I don't even I don't even honestly know if Henry Cavill is still Superman. I don't know. Yeah.
See, that's a bad thing about communication, and, like, DC, like, not having that plan. A lot of people want Man of Steel 2 and want Superman, Cavill to come back and stuff. I'm not saying, like, do away with that. I think that'd be dumb. I actually like Cavill as Superman.
Yeah, me too.
Especially if they're going to make that turn and turn the, you know, dark and depressing and give him that arc of, like, becoming the Superman everybody expected him to be. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a nice arc for him. But in the meantime of while behind the scenes things are getting worked out, maybe we end up getting a Man of Steel 2 and everything. It's cool to get, like, you know, somebody from that family.
Mm-hmm.
That they're going to actually use in movies, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice. Still a little bit weird that it's going to be in the Flash movie, but I guess... I'm wondering, now that I'm thinking about it and saying it out loud, we were talking about how it would be nice to have, like, a Supergirl to move forward with... If the Flash movie is introducing, like, the multiverse to the DCEU, will she even still be around? Well, I guess she doesn't need to still be around in the DCEU. They could still, do their own movie based off of her in her own world. So, yeah, they could do anything, really, with a multiverse. Anything. Literally anything.
Yeah, but, they could. It's just, it comes down to execution. And with DC, it's been so hit or miss with it.
Yeah, and, mostly miss.
Yeah. So it's one of those things, you just hope that they finally have a plan, and they say, with the multiverse, this is where we can really succeed and make great movies. That's really all I want out of this.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, let's make some great movies here.
Yeah. And I do have faith in Andy Muschietti after the It movies. I'm excited to see what he can do with, like, a really big budget, crazy superhero movie.
Huge cast.
Shaping up to be a very... very strange superhero.
Ben Affleck's Batman, Michael Keaton's Batman, Ezra Miller, of course, is the Flash, and you got now Supergirl, Sasha Calle.
Yeah. We'll see how it turns out, but let's move on to our next segment, which is titled, Who is WandaVision's Secret Cameo? So, like we said up top, we are going to be talking about WandaVision. We're going to have timestamps if you don't want any spoilers, because this is where they are about to start. If you don't want to hear it, jump ahead to the next story. It'll still be very entertaining, I am sure. But here we go. So, every Friday since WandaVision's premiere, the internet has been flooded with new theories and tons of insane rumors. It's insane. So, Evan Peters' cameo a few weeks ago, while previously leaked, still managed to completely shock most viewers, myself included. But since then, the focus has now shifted to the next mind-blowing cameo. Vision actor Paul Bettany spoke with Esquire about these theories and potential cameos, saying, quote, "Truth is, of all the characters we were trying to keep secret, a lot of them got out through leaks. There is one character that has not been revealed, and it is very exciting. It is an actor I've longed to work with all of my life. We have some amazing scenes together, and I think the chemistry between us is extraordinary, and fireworks on set," end quote. So, of course, now we have to predict who this could possibly be. And we will have a spoiler talk at the end of the season, but we still just want to cover things that are going on in the show, because, you know, we want to talk about it. We're very, very much enjoying the show. So, Taylor, do you have any predictions on who this is going to be?
I've been going back and forth, man, on this. I really want it to be Reed Richards. I want to be John Krasinski as Reed Richards. They just had their Office episode, which I thought would be perfect to bring John Krasinski and get, forgot the guy's name. Is it Randall Park?
Yeah, Randall Park.
To come in as well somehow to get sucked into the Hex. And there you go. You have two characters that technically played the same character in The Office.
In The Office, on The Office.
It'd be really funny to do. But, you know, they didn't go with that. I'm still hoping it's John Krasinski as Reed Richards. I think that's a perfect casting. And I just mentioned, you know, I forgot the actor's name. Denzel Washington's son.
John David Washington.
Yeah. John David Washington. That's another rumored name for it. I don't really like him for Reed Richards, but, I mean, it really just depends of what they end up doing with the character. I think John Krasinski or Chidi from The Good Place, I thought that would be a pretty good one.
Oh, Chidi would be good.
I forgot the actor. But John Krasinski is at the top of that list for me of, like, somebody I would love to see. Because I think whoever you're getting, you don't want them to be, like, old. Whoever is going to be Reed Richards here, you want them to be, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s. So they can be in this universe a little while. So I think that's where it fits. Other than Reed Richards, I'd go maybe Magneto. I don't know. It seems like it's a huge cameo, especially the way that they're hyping it up. Like, it's not going to be, like, some people have mentioned Blue Marvel, who I guess has ties to Monica Rambeau.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a big enough character. No. When I had to be like, who the hell is Blue Marvel? And I feel like a lot of people just probably were like that too.
Yeah.
So, what about you? Who do you think it could be?
Well, I, like you, would also really like to see John Krasinski as Reed Richards. But even if it is the character Reed Richards, I don't think it would be John Krasinski, just because of what Paul Bettany said. He says, "It is an actor I've longed to work with all of my life," which sort of sounds to me like an actor who is older than him. I don't know how old John Krasinski or Paul Bettany are, but they're, you know, around the same age. So it doesn't seem like he would be speaking like that about him. So that makes me think that it is also an older character, Reed Richards.
Very good point.
So Magneto does, you know, fit that bill, at least. And I would expect that Paul Bettany would love to work with a talented, you know, thespian like Ian McKellen, who's been working in
Ian
Hollywood.
McKellen or Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart, I think, has said, like, several times in the past that he doesn't want to be Professor X anymore. He sort of felt like he said goodbye to that character with Logan, which I totally understand. But Ian McKellen didn't have a movie like that or a moment like that. So if they wanted to actually, you know, do the multiverse, by the way, spoilers for the latest episode. I know I said spoilers up top, but spoilers for the latest episode, just in case. We know that Evan Peters' Quicksilver was a creation of Agnes, who was revealed to be Agatha Harkness.
I still don't think that's fully confirmed here. It just kind of assumed, like, she was controlling him.
Maybe.
So it still could be that that is that Quicksilver that she just plucked from. Because you gotta look at that commercial. God, this show is so good. I can't wait till we do the spoiler talk, because I owe the creators of the show an apology. For they do not care. They have never, nor will they ever listen to this show. But I thought this show was going to just be okay, or I thought it was going to suck. I'm so wrong. Because, yeah, those commercials, too, it seemed like it was that depression commercial. I was talking about, yeah. Go to
that. That was really clever.
Come back, or go to your reality, or find another one, or something like that.
Yeah.
So Nexus. That's where I thought it was kind of like a hint towards, like, hey, this is the multiverse stuff that they were talking about. I feel like we're getting off topic, and this is kind of where I wanted to bring up the second question here on who this could be, because I think we've exhausted kind of like these predictions. Could be Patrick Stewart, could be Ian McKellen, could be John Krasinski.
I also want to mention a lot of people really want it to be Mephisto, but I think with Agatha Harkness, that pretty much rules out Mephisto, because Mephisto, you know, creates different realities, and he's essentially the devil, and he makes very shady deals and tricks lots of different Marvel heroes all the time. But I think with Agatha Harkness, that reveal, I think, like, bringing in Mephisto now would just be very weird to do, because she is clearly the one who's been pulling all of the strings. So,
yeah,
I don't think we're getting Mephisto here. Maybe, you know, somewhere down the Marvel line, but I don't think he's going to be showing up here.
Hell, it could be. I know you said that. That's a very good point you brought up about Paul Bettany mentioned it was somebody he would want to work with his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that kind of leads you to believe it's an older actor, especially not somebody younger who would be playing, you know, Reed Richards, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, wouldn't make too much sense.
Yeah.
But it would be cool to see Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool as
God,
well.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. That's
in a sitcom format where they're starting to break the fourth wall.
Yeah.
It's starting to set up for that. But anyways, just wanted to get into the second question, because I actually think it's a great one here. Is this show so far genuinely some of the MCU's best work? I'm not saying is it better than Endgame. I think that's kind of an absurd statement. Is it better than Infinity War? None of that. I'm just saying genuinely... is this some of the MCU's best work? Should it be talked about at that kind of same level, though, as the better MCU movies so far?
Yes, I think so. I was, unlike you, I was going into the show pretty positively. I was like, oh, this is going to be really interesting how it's going to be switching between different sitcoms. But it has completely surpassed my expectations. The mystery around all of it has been so well paced and plotted, and every episode just gives you just enough of a taste to, like, make you really wish that these, you know, weren't coming out one episode a week, because it's just so tantalizing. But also, the actors have done really great at fitting in with every era's vibe, which is, like, speaks a lot to their talent. Like, Catherine Hahn as Agnes has stolen every scene that she's been in, and she totally fits in every single, like, sitcom era that we've been through, and all of them have. We've seen them go through, like, the classic tropes of, like, shenanigans that you see in all of these classic sitcoms, and they've all done really, really well at you know, portraying that era every episode. So, yeah, I think this is... like, I'm not going to put it on level with Endgame, because they're very, very different, but that also speaks to why this show is so good, because it's so different from what everything else that Marvel has done. Yeah.
I don't want to tear one thing down like Endgame, or tear one thing down like WandaVision to praise the other. Yeah. Like, they're different things. I'm just saying, quality-wise, is this some of the best work so far? Again, people, it still has to stick to landing. There's a chance these two episodes suck.
Yeah.
And we go, man, it pulled a Game of Thrones season 8.
Yeah. So, no, I think this is it's definitely the most unique and original thing that Marvel has done in a very long time. And so I'm loving every second of it. I look forward to it the day that it comes out. So I've been, I think it's some of the best MCU work. I'm curious, though, do you think that the next, because we've got two episodes left, are we done with the sitcom thing now that Agatha has been introduced? And since the last episode focused on, like, you know, modern sitcoms breaking the fourth wall, like The Office, like Modern Family, that's pretty much the newest iteration that I can think of when it comes to sitcoms. So with that and with the Agatha reveal, do we think that the next two episodes are going to be just straight up like Marvel stuff? Do you think they're going to drop that?
I could see this next episode like focusing on Agatha or Agnes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had that thing at the end, like it was her own opening.
Yeah, like, that was great.
It's now her show. So I can see them playing with that for like the majority of the next episode, and then for the finale we get like a full on MCU thing. But I don't mean to like shift the conversation though. But I think why I'm enjoying it so much, I think you hit the nail on the head, is we've been through, what, 22, 23 movies?
Yeah.
We've seen so many highs, so many lows, Thor, The Dark World. So, I mean, we've just, it's kind of become, I don't want to say formulaic, but we've seen a Marvel movie before. So when I went into this, I was like, well, all right, so it's going to, they're going to play sitcoms for a few episodes. Like, I know that's very mean, like jaded to say, but I was not going into this thinking it was going to be like really good. But man, this show just feels so original, and how they use that sitcom format to not just like play homage to it or pay homage to it, but add to that creepy tone.
Mm-hmm.
Adds a layer into like a what's going on here, into a that is so creepy when it's said like that. Like that guy Vision like takes out of Wanda's spell or Agnes's spell, and for a second he's like, where's my family and everything, he's freaking out, and then Vision touches his head again to put him back normal, and he just goes right back into like cheesy sitcom mode, and that is so creepy. And yeah. I don't think this will work in an MCU movie. That's why I love it so much. And I'm actually now at the point where I'm like, there's two episodes left. Then we got Falcon and Winter Soldier. I don't think there's any way Falcon and Winter Soldier can top this.
Oh, there, I have.
I really don't.
I have no faith that Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to top this.
Falcon Winter Soldier seems like an MCU movie, and coming off of something that kind of feels like its own original, like, mystery thriller, like, there's not much superheroing going on here. This feels like an actual movie with, like, there's powers and stuff, but seems just like a thriller kind of thing going on, towards Falcon Winter Soldier is like, here's your MCU movie in 8 episodes. So, part of me is like, well, it's all downhill for here, and that's very shocking for me to say.
Yeah, it is. It's also just interesting because, you know, there was always the conversation of, are these Marvel Disney Plus shows going to prove that they deserve to exist, or are these just cash grabs? And WandaVision has absolutely proved that it is an original, unique take on superheroes from anything that we've seen before, and has, you know, shown that it does deserve to exist, that it is very, very different and unique. And then when it comes to Falcon and Winter Soldier, it does seem like it's going to be a lot of the same that we've had. I'm still going to watch it. I'm still going to enjoy it, of course, because it's Marvel.
Yeah, maybe it's also really good. Maybe it brings
also just fantastic.
Maybe it brings up some awesome storylines. Maybe it actually does I forgot his name. Now, see, there's so many characters, man.
it's a lot to keep track of.
Into, you know, a viable Captain America successor, because that's kind of a problem a lot of people had, was like, him and Bucky were just basically Captain America sidekicks for 3 movies, so
yeah,
they weren't built up at all for this.
Yeah,
maybe it does that, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I think this show at least is going to give me that kind of like, all right, give me 2 episodes, and then I'll start to judge it. Give us some time to breathe.
Yeah. God, I can't wait to see what WandaVision does next. Can't believe it's
done. It's
2 episodes.
We talked about, like, should it be binging? Should it be weekly? Mm-hmm. I think there's a case people can make for both. But one thing about the weekly format is because we are so hyped about it, you know?
Yeah.
We're getting 30 minutes an episode, which is a little too short, in my opinion. But, hey, it's, like, such a high budget here. I can kind of forgive it. But anyways, it's doing such a great job at that. And it's having, like, people talking every week, like, what's going to happen next? Who's going to be the main villain? Who's going to be the next cameo? We just spent, what, 20 minutes on this?
Yeah.
And it wasn't That's what I'm talking about, man.
They plot that mystery so well, while just, like, paying homage to, like, these classic popular sitcoms. They plot that mystery so well that even though I wish I could binge it just so I could know what happens, that weight is powerful. And it's, you know, sparking conversations at work. Like, I'll be at work and, like, my boss, who, like, doesn't care about anything, really, about superheroes, like, he doesn't... I mean, he watches the movies and stuff just, you know, for the action, but it's not like, you know, he never read the comics or, like, he doesn't, like, you know, he doesn't, you know, look up articles the way that we do, or, like, he doesn't get into it as much as we do. But even, like, he's watching it with his family and he's, like, really getting into the mystery of it all because it's just so, it's so well-paced. I love it.
And that's why it's fun. Like, people can complain about, like, oh, I don't want John Krasinski as Reed Richards, or I don't want, I forgot his name again. I'm terrible with names.
John David Washington.
John David Washington. I will get it by next week because we'll be talking about him in some other movie because Hollywood's casting him everywhere.
Yeah.
John David Washington. Oh, don't want him as this. We can be complaining about it all you want, but the cool part is we're theorizing about it. It's like, could Reed Richards show up? And the possibility of that is kind of like not low. Like, this seems like a show that could happen.
Yeah,
like, we could see Ian McKellen come in as Magneto. Like, I could see that happening. And it's all because of the show setting up the mystery the way it did, by it releasing in a weekly format the way it is, and Evan Peters honestly showing up as Quicksilver, just really changing the game and being like, oh, so really, anything's possible here.
Anything is possible. And I can't wait to see what happens. But let's move on from that to the Nerds Talk Movies Lightning Round. So if you've never listened to the show before, the Lightning Round is essentially, we talked about the big stories that we wanted to have giant discussions about, in-depth talks, what have you. Lightning Round is just about some smaller stories that maybe we wanted to mention, but wouldn't lead to that juicy, juicy discussion. So first up in the Lightning Round, we have another look at Zack Snyder's The Justice League, because we got a brand new trailer which showed off Darkseid and the new take on Jared Leto's Joker. So, Taylor, what are your thoughts on this trailer and, as everyone else was discussing, the aspect ratio the film will be shown in?
I thought it was a pretty good trailer. If this movie is good or bad, I feel like the one thing it has going for it is it feels, like, epic.
Yeah.
Like, it feels kind of... It doesn't feel like a Marvel movie. It doesn't feel like... is trying to just be Justice League plus a few scenes. It feels like an epic thing.
Yeah.
Like an important thing to watch because it's going to have important things happening in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's if it's good or bad. Like we kind of, I thought Batman versus Superman kind of had the same level of epicness to it. And obviously, you know, that didn't turn out great.
So.
It just all ends up in execution, and this is Zack Snyder's vision, so we'll see who was right here.
Yeah.
When it comes to the aspect ratio, by the way, also Jared Leto's Joker, so much better in that one line than anything we saw in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, his grill is gone, his stupid damaged forehead tattoo is gone, so that's all positive.
His voice sounded better. I thought, like, his makeup looked a little better. As for the aspect ratio, I'm not an expert in these things. Do not take my opinion. Really don't take any of my opinion to here as like things you should go by. I'm a moron. You can ask anybody. But besides the point is I think it's gonna be fine. From what I did read is like you're not really gonna be losing too much.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, really. In fact, I think you're going to be gaining some stuff by it being filmed in that aspect ratio. But, I don't know. It just really depends on how it looks when we actually see the movie. It was a little distracting. I think it's going to be distracting at first for people to see it like that.
Yeah, you're just... I think we're all just so used to the widescreen whenever we're watching those movies. But as a lot of things, personally, I think, as a lot of things have recently shown, like WandaVision and The Mandalorian, playing around with different aspect ratios can, you know, do wonders for a scene, because it's just a really cool way for them to play around the way with the way that we are watching movies. Like, it doesn't all have to look the same. So I don't mind that, you know, if this isn't going to be in widescreen, that doesn't really bug me, really. As far as, yeah, Jared Leto's Joker, I know we didn't get to see him much, but I'm right there with you. Already so much better than what we got in Suicide Squad. And it's interesting because the scene that we see him pop up in is that weird, like, nightmare vision that Batman has, right?
The nightmare sequence.
Yeah, the nightmare sequence, yeah. So I don't even know how long he's actually going to be in this movie. If he's only in that part. Yeah.
It seems like that nightmare sequence is going to be brought up. Which, by the way, bravo to Zack Snyder for bringing back up. Because in the Justice League movie we got, that wasn't shown at all. They didn't care to address it at all. So, yeah. Fantastic that that's going to get answered, probably.
Yeah. So I'm more curious than I am excited about this. I will be watching it when it comes out. And I thought the trailer looked decent. But Taylor, are you going to be relieved once this movie finally releases, or are you loving the chaos?
I'm loving the chaos. I hope this movie succeeds, and WB is sitting there like, do we go forward to multiverse, or do we make Zack Snyder's Justice League 2? And yeah. As Zack Snyder said, that there are no plans for that. Warner Brothers has no plans to do that either. They don't care about it.
Change their minds.
Yeah, money talks, and you get critical success and this ends up being good. I mean, I'm just saying, I would love to see the chaos of this movie actually being good. Warner Brothers being wrong the whole time about what 2017's Justice League was and making this turn to what it is the DCU is now.
I think that would honestly be very fun to see, so I kind of hope it happens too. But anyway, last bit in the lightning round is that Netflix's live-action Avatar The Last Airbender has reportedly found a new showrunner. So this comes via the Illuminati, who reports that Netflix has now found a new showrunner following the exits of original co-creators of the animated show Brian Konietzko and Michael Dante DiMartino. The new showrunner will be Albert Kim, who got started writing for Sports Illustrated and Entertainment Weekly, among other publications. He worked as a senior news director at ESPN from 2005 to 2008, which, funnily enough, with the same airs that the animated Avatar aired on Nickelodeon. And he even created ESPN Hollywood. He has also worked as a TV writer on TNT's Leverage and Fox's Sleepy Hollow. Along with this report were some minor story details about the ages of the main characters. According to the report, Katara and Sokka will be switched as to who is the older and younger sibling. Katara will be 16, Sokka will be 14, and Aang will remain at age 12. So I wanted to put this in because we pretty heavily covered when the original creators left the Netflix show and how unfortunate that was. And I think it's great that they have a new showrunner. But pretty much, I wanted to put this in here mainly to complain about the age changes. And I know I'm not alone because I have seen a lot of people be very upset. And Taylor, you're going to have to remind me. You have seen Avatar The Last Airbender, correct? I don't know if you've seen the whole thing.
No, I have not.
You have not? Okay.
I believe I've seen a few episodes as a kid.
Okay. Well, let me tell you. I know this is going to sound very nitpicky. Like, I don't want to be like one of those fans. I don't want to be like one of those fans who's just like, the live action one's going to suck because such and such and such, all these small details.
Or there's, you would have to do a lot here to make me think that.
Well, okay, so it doesn't, I know it probably doesn't seem like the ages of the characters are that important. But if you watch the animated show, it actually, like, their ages have a lot to do with their development too. So Katara and Sokka, they were kids when their mother was killed by Fire Nation raiders. And there's a whole big emotional, actually a couple big emotional, like, flashbacks to that moment. to when they lost their mother. And Sokka, basically, he didn't know what to do when he lost his mother, and their father's off fighting this war against the Fire Nation. Katara has to step up and, like, be the mom, even though she's the younger sibling, so it does a lot for her development. And I always said that Katara was my favorite character because she is the responsible one, and I always felt it was really interesting that the older sibling is not the responsible one. But it also helps with his development, too, because he goes from being just, like, this big goofball, basically, to sort of taking on a leadership role within the group in, like, later seasons of the show. And, like, he comes up with, like, all of these plans and that have to deal, like, with, like, accomplishing their actual goals to stop the Fire Lord. So their ages are, like, important to their growth and to their development. I'm not saying that, you know, their age changes are, you know, going to make the show bad or anything like that. It'll just be interesting to see, like, what that dynamic will be like. And I'm wondering if this is, like, one of the things that the original showrunners didn't want to happen. I know it's a small thing, but they, you know, they wrote the original show. They're very close to it. So I'm wondering if that is the case. Also, spoilers, minor spoilers for Avatar The Last Airbender. Aang and Katara are romantically involved by the end of the show because they are closer in age. So I'm guessing that's not going to happen with the live action show since she is now 4 years older than he is. Not saying it couldn't happen eventually, you know, later in their lives, but probably not going to end up with that romance that the original show will give it. Yeah, so I just wanted to put in there just to go on a little tiny rant to be like, this is dumb, and I love the original characters because of what their ages mean and how it, you know, plays into their development. But yay, at least it has a showrunner, and, you know, that's one step closer to this actually becoming a reality, because even though the showrunners from the original show have left, I'm still am interested to see what Netflix, you know, churns out. Taylor, do you have any thoughts on this?
Not really. I'm very hesitant to this show coming out because of the original showrunners. We talked about that, a few months ago? And that just seemed like such a bad breakup, and Netflix has had a lot of troubles.
That's true. It did not. That's true. I believe it was Brian Konietzko who put out his first statement, and I remember reading that statement, and it was just kind of heartbreaking, because he was essentially like, when we, you know, signed onto this deal, Netflix assured us that we would have full creative control and they would support all of our visions, and as time has gone on, that has not been true. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that was basically his sentiments. So it is very, very unfortunate. But they did hire a lot of the creatives behind the scenes when they were in the position of showrunners, and those people have stayed on. So, you know, hopefully, if they had faith in those and who they hired and those people are staying on, that we'll still, you know, get, I guess, a little bit of their vision when the live action show comes out, which, you know, who knows by now when that's supposed to happen, because it was announced like at least 2 years ago. But yeah. I don't know how to end this. So let's just go ahead and end it right there. We'll move on.
It never goes right, man.
I think we're okay. Let's wrap up. We're going to end how we always end the show, which is what are we working on and where people can find us. So Taylor, take it away.
You can find me if for some reason you would love to hear more of, you know, this. You can find me over at the Nerd Stash Show. We just had an episode release. What do we talk about, Johnny?
We talked about the most recent Nintendo Direct, mostly, is what we talked about. There's a couple other things.
We also talked about the Silent Hill rumors and all sorts of stuff. We got off topic a lot, kind of like we do on this show.
That's part of the fun, though.
Yeah, it really is, though. That's why I enjoy doing it. I enjoy how dumb this show gets sometimes. Same thing with the Nerd Stash Show. It's just the fun for me. You can also find me at thenerdstash.com. You can also find me over at modernwarzone.com. Black Ops Cold War for any Call of Duty fans. It's about to release Season 2, which means I'm not going to get any sleep next week because I'm going to be writing about Call of Duty. And you can find me over at RamboFactor on Twitter. Johnny, where can people find you?
Yeah, so like Taylor said, we just released a new episode of the Nerd Stash Show. Go check it out. That was fun. You can find me at thenerdstash.com, writing news generally. I also have a couple of things coming out. I freelance for Watch Mojo, and I've got a video going up with their gaming channel, Mojo Plays, on the 22nd. It is 10 games you can play within other games. So go check that out if you like cool Easter eggs. And I also wrote the Mythology of the Zelda series explained, basically just a condensed version of all of these crazy stories from the Zelda lore. You can find that on looper.com. Also, you can find me on Twitter at @avatar_Johnny. But that does it for another episode of Nerds Talk Movies. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at @NerdStashShow. Check out the Discord at the Nerd Stash community. Please visit the site, thenerdstash.com, and subscribe to the podcast on your platform of choice. Thank you, Taylor, for joining me and writing up the show. It's an editing. It is great to have you back. Thank you all so much for listening if you've made it this far. It is greatly appreciated. Please stay safe and take care.